Good to see everybody back this evening to worship God together again. In the book of Acts in chapter 4, and we find there the introduction of a man that is known throughout the New Testament from that time forward. And he was not one of the original apostles, but he was well known among them. And in chapter 4 and verse 36, it says there, and it had been talking earlier about how people were selling what they had and bringing the money to the apostles and to be distributed and help take care of the people in the church in Jerusalem for that time. It says in chapter 4 and verse 36, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of exhortation, a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, having a field, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." That's our introduction to a man by the name of Barnabas. We really don't know him by his real name, which was Joseph. Barnabas was the name given to him by the apostles. But we should be impressed with what we know about him. He was greatly impressed the apostles. And in fact, they gave him that name, which is says being interpreted son of exhortation, another son of comfort. There's two or three ways to translate that particular word, but it's all good. And that's the name they gave him. Now, what Barnabas did was in contrast to what had just been talked about earlier. There are many people who are selling things that they had and bringing the money to the apostles, and theirs being distributed to the widows, the orphans, the others who were having needs at the time. And there was two that came, a husband and wife named Ananias and Sapphira. And they sold the property they had, and they held back part of the money, and they brought it to Peter and the other apostles and set it there. And Peter asked them, first of all, Ananias came in, and he says, "Is this the total of what you sold it for?" He says, "Yes, it is." He says, "Why have you lied to God? You've lied not to me, but to the Holy Spirit." And he fell down dead. And after a while, Sapphira came in, and Peter asked her the same question. And she said, "Yes, this is the total amount." And he says, "Why have you conspired with your husband to lie to God?" And she fell down dead. Now, as you might expect, you read on the book of Acts in chapter 4, and it says, "And great fear came upon all that heard this." Well, you can imagine that it would. And so, but they gave a part of what they had, which was perfectly all right. They could have done that, and it would have been accepted. But they lied about it and said, "No, this is all there is." They wanted the praise of giving everything, but instead holding back. And it's in that context that Barnabas did what he did. Barnabas was not acting on a command. God never commanded us to just sell everything we have and give up everything. If we want to do that, he will accept it. But he didn't command us to do so. But he was following the example of others. And so in chapter 4 and verse 34, it says there, "For neither was there among them any that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and lay them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto each according as any had need." Notice it was according as any had need. Not all everything they wanted, but they had a need that would take care of the people. Now, Barnabas then was a good man, as we would define that. He was willing to share what he had with others. You go over to chapter 11 of the book of Acts. In chapter 11, and verse 22, chapter 11, verse 22, and chapter 11, verse 22, says, and report came concerning them that to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, and who, when he had come and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with that purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. So Barnabas was not just one that sold his goods. He was the one that followed up in preaching and teaching, and to the fact that they trusted him enough to send him to another place to go up there and encourage the church in Antioch. You read on later, the church at Antioch became one of the greatest churches of the time. It was the one that sent out Paul and Barnabas, and later Paul and Silas, and Barnabas and Mark to go different places to preach the gospel. And so it was he was one of the helpers to get it started going. And so it's a good recommendation that he's made to us by the word of God, a great example of it to us. So we look at Barnabas and the gift that he gave. So who was he? Well, he was pious. In other words, he was dedicated to God and to God's service. He was a landowner, so he was of some wealth. We don't know how much, but evidently he gave up quite a bit as far as his wealth was concerned. His name was actually Joseph, or Joseph, as one translation says. He was named for the great patriarch who saved his people from starvation all the way back in the book of Genesis. Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. And he went down to Egypt as a slave and ultimately became the second only to Pharaoh himself as ruler of Egypt. And it was through him that God saved the Israelite people from starvation. And so it was a common name in the Israelite nation. Barnabas was the name given to him. Some translations say son of exhortation. In other words, he exhorts, he encourages, and strengthens others. Some say son of consolation, which means he helps them for those who are in need and those who are saddened by whatever problem and trouble they have. But it's from a word meaning to call to one's side, to admonish, to exhort, to beg or entreat, to console, to encourage, to strengthen by consolation and to comfort. In other words, a word means a whole lot of different things in the context that it is found. But each one of those has to do with helping and guiding and encouraging and strengthening along the way. So that was the way Barnabas was. That was the kind of man he was. That's the kind of dedication to the Lord. That's the kind of heart that he had within him. It was a name given by the apostles, no doubt, and due to his ability as a man who was good for comforting others and encouraging and helping people along the way. And there in Acts 11, that's why he was sent up to Antioch. The apostles didn't go at that time. They came later. But he sent him there to begin to help to build up the church and encourage those who are faithful. But his character and ability is mentioned here in Acts chapter 11, and verse 24. It says, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. If we didn't know anything else about him, that would be right there a great recommendation. He was a good man. In other words, he did what was good. The Bible in the book of Acts says, the Apostle Paul speaking says, Jesus Christ went about doing good. In other words, wherever he went, he did good. Well, Barnabas was following that example of Christ himself. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, probably because he was there in the city of Jerusalem with the apostles, he must have the apostles' hands laid upon him, and he received certain miraculous gifts. So he was full of the Holy Spirit in that way, because we know later on he went with the Apostle Paul on missionary journeys, and they worked miracles, both of them did as far as we know. And later he was sent to the island of Crete, or no, excuse me, not Crete, but Cyprus, and because of the breakup of Paul and Barnabas, and that's something later on. But anyway, he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit and the Word which the Spirit gives to you and me. That's how we become full of the Holy Spirit, by obeying the gospel and studying and reading what the Spirit has revealed to you and me. And we can be filled in that way. He was a man of faith, not just faith, but good, great faith in the Lord. He was willing to suffer persecution. He was willing to give up most everything that he had in this world for the cause of Christ. Now, he was talented due to his rank alongside acceptance by the apostles. Now, he was of the tribe of Levi, it says in verse 36 of chapter 4, meaning he was of the priestly tribe of Israel. He was not living in Israel, but he was actually born on the island of Cyprus. And so he was there. So he was the priests, the Levitical tribe, would be taught the law from the very time they were born, prepared to become a priest of God under the law of Moses. So he would be well versed in the Word of God and the law and the prophets and everything. He was chosen, of course, then to rank almost alongside the apostles. He was chosen as Paul's helper along the way in the first missionary journey. He seemed to be, from what we can tell, powerful in speech and powerful and eloquent in speech also. And he was useful to Paul and to all of the Lord's work. But he had land and property. He was a native of Cyprus. And probably because of what it says about him, because of the property that he owned, he was fairly wealthy compared to some of the other people around. Land ownership in that time was highly prized, even in some ways more than it is now. It was unusual for someone to own a lot of land for himself during that time. Barnabas willingly gave up what he had for the cause of Christ. And probably the land may have been in his family for many generations, but he was willing to give that up for Christ. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Barnabas kind of exemplifies that idea. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That was the priority in his life. It's a good example to you and me. He set the priority of spiritual things rather than the things of this life. He could have held on to a good part of that property and sold the rest of it and brought it, and then he would have been acceptable to God, but he was willing to give up all of it for the cause of Christ. And he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That context in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about people who spend all their time worrying about what are we going to eat? What are we going to put on? What clothing do we have? What shelter do we have? He says the Gentiles, the people around who reject God, that's what they think about all the time. But he says, "But you seek the kingdom of God first, and these things God is going to provide and help you with." In Matthew 6, verse 21, he said, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Well, we see where Barnabas' treasure was, not upon this earth, but with the Lord. We see that what sometimes might be called the great renunciation. He renounced his land, his wealth, and put it into the common fund. Verse 37, "So having a field, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." In other words, here it is. He laid it at their feet. That's symbolic of giving it all up. He didn't want it back. It was for the use of the apostles and for the church. And so that's what he did, even though he had to sacrifice a great deal. And it required that for him to do that, to make that sacrifice. He did it willingly. And again, it serves as an example to us. And also Christians in Macedonia, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 for a moment. I kind of made reference to this morning, but we'll go back to it this evening. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and the beginning of verse 1, the Apostle Paul writing, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia." Now, Barnabas is one of the first ones that went with him to Macedonia. He says, "How then, in much proof of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded into the riches of their liberality. For according to their power I bear witness, yea, and beyond their power, they gave of their own accord, beseeching us with much entreaty regarding this grace and the fellowship and the ministering to the saints. And this not as we had hoped at first, they gave of their own selves unto the Lord and to us through the will of God." And so, in other words, the reason they were able to give beyond what Paul could imagine, and because out of their deep poverty they gave, because they first gave their own selves to the Lord. But Barnabas did that out of love for Christ, whose disciple he was. He proved his devotion not only here, but in his journeys with the Apostle Paul, and particularly the first missionary journey. It was very long, and they had all kinds of persecution. Paul was stoned and left for dead, and all these things that happened to them. And they got back finally. And of course, he suffered persecutions right along with the Apostle Paul, beaten and imprisoned and all those things. Now, according to tradition, we don't know for sure, but according to tradition, Barnabas was put to death on the island of Cyprus about 73 A.D. because of preaching the gospel of Christ. So if that is true, then that he was faithful to the Lord for another 25 or 30 years after we read how he became faithful at that time. And under the direction of the Holy Spirit, by whom his heart was filled. Again, you go back to Acts chapter 11. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, Paul says there, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God." But we have to be led by the Spirit of God. How do we do that? Well, he leads us by the message which he reveals and takes it into our heart, and he is part of our heart in our service to God. For consideration from his fellow Christians, he was an example to them. Jesus had compassion on people who were truly seeking the Word of God. He had compassion on people who were in need of healing because of blindness or all illness or all the other things that Jesus healed. He over and over again it says of Jesus that he had compassion upon them. In other words, he loved them. He knew he could heal them. And yet the word compassion comes from a Latin word meaning to suffer along with. And that's what Jesus did. Look at 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, And beginning there at verse 16, 1 John 3 and verse 16. Sometimes we talk about John 3:16, but we also need to look at 1 John chapter 3:16 sometimes. He says, "Hereby we know love, because he laid down his life for us." Now, you might stop there and it says, well, that's what John 3:16 says. But notice what else it says. And we ought, he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and beholds his brother in need and shuts up his compassion for him, how does the love of God abide in him? And he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither with tongue, but in deed and in truth." How do we love that way? By taking care of the needs of those who are around us. Barnabas did that. He set the example. Also, it was a cheerful consecration of what he had to the service of God. He laid his gift at the apostles' feet. It's interesting when Judas betrayed Jesus and he understood what he had done. He brought the 30 pieces of silver back to the temple and he wanted to give it back to the priests there. And so they said, "We can't take that. That's blood money." Of course, they had paid it in the first place. But what did he do? He threw the money down at the priest's feet and ran out and hanged himself. Notice the contrast here. Barnabas came and laid this gift at the apostles' feet, symbolically of giving all of it of himself to the Lord. He gave it without reluctance. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 through 15. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, beginning it there in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, "But this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now sometimes we read that and kind of we stop at that part of the verse. There's a lot more to say here. Verse 7, "Let each man do according as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Well, what is the result of that? Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he has given to the poor, His righteousness abides forever. He that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, the more we give, the more we give to the Lord, the more He's going to give back to us, the more blessing we're going to receive. Barnabas gave without reservation. He didn't keep back part of it. He could have done that, and it would have been perfectly okay for him to do so. In fact, Peter told Ananias and Sapphira, you could have kept part of this back if you had wanted, but you didn't. You kept back and lied about what you were giving. They would have been blessed if they had given part of it and kept back part for themselves. In Acts 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, you lied to the Holy Spirit and you lied unto God. And God made an example of them. He killed them on the spot. Now, Barnabas also gave without stipulation. There's no strings attached. He didn't decide, okay, I want to give this, but I want it given only for what I want to do. No, he didn't do that. It's given. And once it's given, it was under the authority of the apostles to make sure it was used properly. It was to be given, and he gave with a loving heart because that's the kind of man that he was. Turn over to Acts chapter 11 for a moment. In Acts chapter 11, and then beginning, Acts chapter 11, and beginning at verse 27. So in these days there was, there came down prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now this is where Barnabas had been sent. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit there should be a great famine over all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which they also did, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. And so we see the fruit of what he did coming to completion there. He was not only the one that was sent up to Antioch the first time, he also was brought back the gifts from there. And so in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, it says, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of exhortation, a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, having a field, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas gave of what he had out of love, out of concern for others, without reluctance, without reservation, without stipulation. And we should be willing to give of ourselves in the same way. We're not talking about here necessarily about giving of money. That comes part of it. But our life, our talents, our time, and our ability to serve, to be in the service of God. And when we do that, we're going to receive eternal life. Tonight, if there's a need in your life to respond to the invitation, we'd encourage you now to come as together we stand as we sing.